Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. You know, the next hour, I want you to slow down. I want you to get a cup of coffee and enjoy yourself because, you know, all those lists can be put away. Spend this time just for yourself, and you're going to get lots of helpful hints. We've got Sandra Hellemis in the studio. How are you, Sandra?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. You're going to talk a little later about entertaining and about some easy ideas to, you know, kind of have fun with friends and family. Often we don't see everybody over the holidays themselves, so beforehand maybe have some a few get-togethers or after the holidays.
That's right.
You can do it easily, right?
Yep.
Order through you.
Order for me.
And we're going to also talk about the Nativity, live Nativity. It's the 27th year at Topaz Park, and it's a wonderful, you know, the reason for the season and kind of takes you to a special spot, and we're going to be talking about that. Off the top, though, we're going to talk to Dr. Diana Galbraith. She's going to give us some easy steps for surviving, as she calls it, the Christmas Feast-a-thon. I like that. How are you, Diana?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Patty?
Excellent. Now, you have seven children, so you do really have to survive because you've been through it all.
Yes, seven children and actually one grandchild as of just this fall.
So. Congratulations. That's really exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it keeps me hopping.
Can you imagine seven children?
No.
And look, she's got a happy voice.
I know.
And I think that's what kind of got you on this road, Dr. Galbraith, is that you had seven kids and you realized you had to kind of find a balance. And that's kind of what led you to this. Give us a little bit of your background.
Okay. Well, I graduated from medicine back in the 1980s. And at that time, I actually had some of my own health issues and had to resign for a while, went on to have my family, and through the process, actually, my own health, you know, I put on the extra weight, I wasn't really looking after myself, taking care of myself, and so it was actually about 10 years ago, I started looking at things and going, you know, this is not working for me, and one thing about medicine is they teach you very well about disease prevention, but they don't necessarily teach you the best about how to look after yourself from a true preventative sense. And so I went on a bit of my own journey and realized that there's so much to our lifestyle, so much that can make such a difference to our health. And that's basically where it began. It doesn't always have to be huge things. I think as women, we tend to get on this roller coaster where we think it has to be all or none. And just even making some very small health lifestyle changes can make a big difference to your health. So that's basically where I come from and what started me on this journey of working with women, trying to basically get them off that diet treadmill and onto more permanent, what I like to call happy, healthy lifestyle changes. So,
and a couple of things that sort of stood out for me, first of all, balance, because you were just talking about your own life, you had to get in balance, and that we can have it all, but not always at once. We have to, whether it's food or our lifestyle, pace it. And also to be kind to ourselves, because I think as women, you know, it's always got to lose that 10 pounds. Oh, I got big this, I got bad hair, I got, you know, we don't ever just accept ourselves and think of the gift we have.
Oh, that is so true. And I think that's one of the foundations of what I like to teach women is really we've been so indoctrinated to carry around the stick and beat ourselves, especially if we're carrying any extra weight. You know, it's this, I'm fat, I don't look good. And in our society, we have such a distorted picture of what healthy should be to begin with as well. And I like to teach them that really it's about singing a love song because you have an incredible body. And so if you can come from the perspective of wanting to do what's best for your body, to really look after your body and care for it, and in a way love it, it can make all the difference in terms of making those changes that you make permanent because you're doing it for positive reasons rather than negative reasons.
And Sandra, you have a daughter as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, isn't that important for our responsibility towards them too, is to show that positive image so that they don't have that same thing that generations of women have had?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because I know even amongst her girlfriends, there's always that talk. And then she gets a bit anxious, you know, when someone's doing a run and she's been busy with her schoolwork and she starts saying, oh, I need to go for a run. And I can just see her anxiety level start to rise a little bit because she's doing that comparison of what she's doing and what they're doing.
I guess we all do that, don't we, Diana, is that we compare ourselves to others and we have a certain body type or a certain way that we are. And we have to be you know, it's always worse and there's always better. We have to kind of figure out where we're at.
Totally, and we're our own harshest judge. I mean, not everyone's meant to be a size 6, and not everyone's meant, you know, I mean, everybody's got a different body type. And even historically, if you look, you know, a little bit of, carrying a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of extra weight can actually be a positive thing and a healthy thing. So it all comes down to, like you said, balance.
Yeah, if you look at all the old pictures, right, I'm just right into, I've got the right body for that.
Moi too.
Exactly. Well, you've got some steps. Let's start with those. 10 easy steps to surviving the Christmas feast-a-thon. And, you know, we hear this over and over again, but, you know, you got the 5 R's, but I know, you know, with stress, that's a big one.
Totally. And if a woman is doing everything else right and can't lose weight, I usually tie it up to one of two things. It's either stress or some kind of imbalance of hormones, and those two can play a huge havoc on our bodies, and particularly stress, because the stress and hormones, of course, totally interact. So,
and what are the 5 R's?
The 5 R's are to reflect, so to think about what it is that's causing you your stress. To release what you can, and to know what you can and what you can release and what you can't, and then to relearn. So if there's something that's causing you stress, just learning a new way of coping with it, of handling it. The 4th R would be recharge. So basically, looking after yourself, eating properly, getting your sleep, doing everything you can from a physical sense. And relax, because I think as women, we tend to look after everybody else and put ourselves last. And sometimes you actually need to take time for yourself and put yourself first.
Yeah, and sometimes we listen to ourselves, you know, it can be doom and gloom and so much on the list instead of, I'm so lucky because I have a list. I have people to buy, you know. There's
right.
a better way. The glass is half full maybe sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And good night's sleep. Now, we hear a lot about that. And, you know, women now are talking about menopause and perimenopause and postmenopause and their sleep habits. And I guess as you get older, that definitely changes. How can you work on that if you're waking up in the night, you're not getting that proper sleep?
Well, I mean, there are simple things you can do. One big thing is actually just making sure that you have a period of restfulness before you go to sleep. Late night working on your computer is actually those bright lights. There's a hormone called melatonin, which is basically our sleep hormone, puts us to sleep. Any bright lights will destroy any melatonin. So if you can have a time of relaxing and trying to avoid bright lights, even that can make a huge difference. Sleeping in a darkened room, sleeping in a quiet room, you know, trying not to have stressful things right before you go to bed. Sometimes it's a little bit deeper, and sometimes, you know, it can get into hormones, and I mean, that's a whole other big story. But often what women are lacking is actually just a little bit of progesterone, and that can make a difference in helping them sleep too. But I mean, that's kind of a last resort. First, you want to look at all the lifestyle things and making sure that all that's lined up.
I'm laughing about the sleep thing because I have my neighbor, you know, we have all the lights out and everything, and he's got, bless his soul, his whole front yard lit up. But for some reason, the lights don't go off at midnight or whatever. So my room actually faces the road, and I have my whole window is aglow.
Well, don't you think though also, I used to have just the blinds, and then I got curtains as well. Because I think, you know, you go to a hotel and it's all those blackout curtains, you sleep great. That has a lot to do with it, right? So do you just have blinds?
I just have blinds, and I'm considering having to do that.
Those blackout drapes are good, aren't they, Dr. Galbraith?
Yes, no, totally, because, again, it's the melatonin that helps you sleep, so or puts you to sleep, for that matter, and keeps you asleep, and it's destroyed by light, so the darker your room, the better.
Go buy him a timer. Put it on his front. When we come back, we're going to talk about the next steps and how you can survive the Christmas feast-a-thon. Back in a minute. We are back with Sandra Hellemis, who is from Once for Dinner and Dinner for One, and her doctor, Diana Galbraith. She has seminars coming up, and also there's a complimentary newsletter she puts out at www.healthtalks.ca. We'll talk later about the seminars, but right now we're kind of going through our list of 10 easy steps to surviving Christmas feast-a-thon. We're on step 4, and vitamins, what role do they play?
Well, I think what happens over Christmas is that people tend to get sick more, and that's because they do tend to let go on some of the healthy elements of their life. They tend to eat too much, stop the activity and stuff. And also, there's just a lot of flus and colds going around. It's also an interesting fact that often people get sick after the stress is finished, and so that's something to look for. And I mean, there's just so much evidence coming out now that just having proper nutrition can play a huge role in helping you fight those colds and flus, particularly vitamin D, of course. So,
yeah, and it's weird how every Christmas it seems these flus, you know, I know neighbors that have it, mm-hmm. and a lot of people have flu right now. I guess it is that maybe it's around, but also you're at a lower point because you're stressed out.
Yes. Totally.
And breakfast. Now, you know, that goes back and forth. Sometimes people say now to fast in the morning and eat breakfast later and exercise because you'll lose more weight. What is your take on the breakfast?
Well, I say eat a healthy breakfast, and I would actually say eat some calories before you exercise. And I'm linking that into actually our cortisol hormone, which is our not to go into a long tale on this, but if you don't eat a healthy breakfast, what happens is your cortisol starts to rise through the day, and it's a hormone that tells you that you're hungry and you need to go out and eat. And so by late in the afternoon, if you skip breakfast and skip lunch, you're going to be starving and you're going to end up eating more into the evening, and that it sets up a pattern. I actually call it the sumo wrestler diet, but it sets up a pattern of heavy eating in the evening. And so often what I tell women is to eat less late in the day, you got to start eating more earlier in the day, and you need to eat healthy. You need to have protein and fiber and healthy fats in those meals.
And when you say fiber, I know you say eat low glycemic. Are you saying eliminating bread or more of a dense bread?
Oh, bread.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. It is interesting. I mean, if you study the low glycemic, by low glycemic, that means foods that don't spike your blood sugar. Unfortunately, a lot of those foods, the breads, the pastas, the rice, the cereals, they all actually are really bad at spiking your blood sugar, worse than sugar, actually. So, you know, the ancient grains are better. There are some breads that are better. But as a whole, actually, I prefer people to make sure that they get I'm a big proponent of the healthy shake or an omelet, and go light on the products that would spike your blood sugar.
Okay. Hydration, that's another big one, because lots of times we get headache or we think we're hungry if we haven't had enough fluids.
Totally. And I think the other thing, too, is especially as you go into Christmas and there's all these holiday drinks around, if you're thirsty, you're going to drink more just because you're thirsty and you need to quench your thirst, versus if you stay hydrated throughout the day, you can have a little bit more control and sip those drinks and drink them for the enjoyment of them rather than just trying to quench your thirst.
Okay. And how much should you drink a day?
Water?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say at least 68 glasses, preferably more. I mean, ideally, you really can't drink too much water. I mean, it would take a lot to be excessive, so yeah.
So leave that cup by the sink and drink it as you go through the day is a good idea, so you remind yourself to do that.
Totally. And coffee doesn't count. Coffee actually dehydrates
you. Oh, dang. Okay. And, you know, drinks and appetizers. We go to parties, and we might be hungry, and we're going to have a dinner after, but the great appies come out, and we're going to talk later about mm-hmm. appies, good ones. But, you know, we kind of maybe eat too many of those, and there's a lot of calories in those.
Yeah, and again, the thing is, I teach my clients to arrive at a party so that they're not famished, so that, again, they're making choices. They're making choices because they want to enjoy something rather than they're starving and they're looking to fill that hunger. So it helps them control that more.
I was at a thing last night, and they had a nice bowl of chocolates, and I said, I'll just put those in my purse, really, like my mother would do. Just dump them out.
It's not Halloween.
Yeah, no, it's not Halloween.
The other part of that, actually, and that's in my next comment, is just to eat and drink slowly. And, I mean, the Mediterranean diet is a diet that's often it's very popular right now in terms of the medical community, but there's more to the Mediterranean diet than just what they eat. It's how they eat, and they have this whole art of eating and enjoying their food and eating slow. And because of that, they actually end up eating much less. home.
Yeah, that is true. You know, mm-hmm. if you know people, my dad was an eater that was really slow and didn't eat tons, and he always had the right weight. And mm-hmm. we were always finished like hours before him, but there mm-hmm. must be something to that. Are you a fast eater, Sandra, or a slow?
I'm trying to be more aware of it.
More mindful of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, establish with the kids more of a, you know, sitting down, because we've lost that. You know, I think I've spoken about that before, too, at the family table where just, you know, turning everything off, the phones are down and the TV's off, and just sitting and eating and the socialization. And I think everyone in Europe, there's a lot of them that follow that, and they eat later, you know, because I always figure out, why are you eating at 8 o'clock? But typically, like with us, we're so busy that, you know, the kids come home, they have a snack or eat, and then if I'm making dinner at 6, they're not hungry yet.
Yeah.
So I'm tending to find, you know, eating a bit later and slower, and just having that socialization with the food.
Right, and I think, you know, I always find our family, and I'm sure with 7 you found this, that, you know, if that's your main time to connect, great. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't see each other the rest of the day, if you can spend that time just at the table is wonderful for you, isn't it, Dr. Yelbreath?
I totally agree. It's bringing mealtime back into a time of celebration and festivity every day, not just Christmas.
Right. And then 9, we're talking again about, you know, you can have what you want, but you can't have it all.
Really, yeah, because I think we come into this mentality often that, oh, there's all this great food here, and if I don't eat it now, I'm not going to get to eat it again. And that's so not true. I mean, you can take leftovers. You can choose to not have all of your favorite courses on Christmas dinner. You can have some of them on Boxing Day. Just spread it around rather than trying to enjoy it all at once. And so pick and choose. If you want to enjoy dessert, maybe forego the bread and the potato, but be a little more balanced and try to eat to where you're satisfied, but you're not stuffed.
Stop when you're satisfied is what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know that feeling, mm-hmm. and you know when you're done, and it's not a great feeling, you know, when you have overdone it, and then you're not happy with yourself again because you've overdone it. And the bonus, you're saying, you know, if you have overdone it, what is the 5-day reset?
The 5-day reset is basically 5 days of going on just shakes and bars. And the reason I do that is because so much of our food is very, so much of the food that we eat is so very high glycemic. And so if I can take women off of that for 5 days, because they've been on this roller coaster of their blood sugars going up and going down, and it ends up causing intense cravings and intense appetite. And so if they go off that for 5 days and just eat a very low glycemic diet, by the end of the 5 days, they lose the cravings, their appetite is under control, and it can make a real big difference. Now, I don't, you know, recommend that they do that longer than 5 days, but it's just kind of a time to kind of reset their body.
You got some great information. Now, people can get your newsletter. Tell us about, you have a special coming up, Christmas special with the lifestyle launch. Tell us some of the things coming up for this new year.
Okay. Well, I have I do have this healthy lifestyle launch on my website. It's $197. But if anyone on your program wants to take advantage of that, I will give them a $50 off.
Very
they would
nice.
Need to contact me directly. That special won't be directly on my website.
But and how do they get a hold of you then if they want to take part in that special today?
dr.diana@healthtalks.ca. And what that gives them is basically a one-hour consultation and a half an hour follow-up, but it also gives them a very extensive health plan that they can follow. They fill out a questionnaire, and based on that questionnaire, I review their lifestyle, I review what they're eating, how they're eating. I go through all their stress, everything, and basically give them a plan to move forward into the new year.
And if you want to know more, there's the free monthly newsletter, the 40 Days to Healthier, Happier Christmas. It's on healthtalks.ca. If you want more information, you also get a hold of me on my website, lifestylewithpattymack.com. There's seminars coming up in January, lots of great information. Thank you so much for sharing your time today and these great tips for all of us to be a little kinder, enjoy the season, but maybe think about tomorrow as well while you're doing it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great Christmas.
You too.
Great talking with you.